Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Resurrected Winners You podcast. I've not done that in a while, so we're back resurrected. I guess it's apt for this podcast.
From the dead, yeah.
Given that our muse for this episode is very much dead and then not dead. Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, we are the Winners You podcast. And for those of you who are new to these parts, think of us as your new video game book club hailing from both ends of the United Kingdom, offering deep dive into a different game just about every other week. We talk ins, outs, ups, downs, and every so often, if we're lucky, we stumble into something interesting along the way. This week, it's something a little bit different, something a little bit interesting. This was originally penciled in for February, I think we spoke about in the last podcast, but we've missed that, so we've pushed it to March.
David saved it with a new naming convention.
What was
the alliterative properties of the previous one?
Well, I think we cannot do this unless we can find an
I was going to scrap the whole lot just to be like, look, we can't do it now.
It won't fit
February Film Fest, and I that means so much to me.
What was it? February Film Fest. Was it a film fest?
Yeah, it was a festival.
Yeah.
But instead, we've gone mad.
We've gone mad into March Madness. What we're going to do this time, Alex, this is your idea, and I feel like you always do a better job of explaining it. So why do you not explain to the many millions of listeners at home about what this is and why this is different from our usual deep dive? Because we still played a game.
We've
just got some additive benefits to it.
Yeah, we basically just added a movie to it.
Yeah.
Because you said, I wish we could talk about films more. So here we are. We decided to have sort of a mini series every year, as we are wont to do. But this time around, for this month, it will be ones that, well, I think it's a lot looser than we originally first planned. But it's basically like going to be a game and then something related to it in the film industry. Probably a lot of the time that will mean licensed games, but it may also just be genre pieces, like as we mentioned, well, you mentioned to me the other day, something like LA Noir and then, I don't know, LA Confidential or whatever, but you know, you've got to watch a nonce if you watch that one. So we'll think about that. It's a good film, actually. Most of Kevin Spacey's films are good, but I haven't watched one since he did all that.
Yeah, I think the last thing I watched that he was in, I'm sure he had a movie come out at that time. I may have seen that, but House of Cards, I think, was the last thing I watched with him in it.
I was really looking forward to that, and then I decided I'm never going to watch it.
Yeah, that's never a mind. Shame. He's ruined it.
Yeah.
It's not really this, though. There's no Kevin Spacey in this movie or game.
No, there is not. I don't think that... what's the guy's name? What's the rubber
bloke
called?
Don't ask me. I was watching
Peter Weller. I don't think Peter Weller's ever done anything bad. He probably has, but we don't know about it.
I mean, I was watching the special features of RoboCop. We're playing RoboCop Rogue City, and I've watched the first RoboCop movie. Alex has done the business and watched the first two. Is that right? You didn't buy three.
I just finished RoboCop 2 like 20 minutes ago.
Good man. So I was watching the special features, and apparently the director has a cameo in the first RoboCop movie, and I was like, because the director Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it was Paul Verhoeven. And the special feature was just like cameo, and it was just like, it's Paul Verhoeven, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, who is this guy? Turns out he's a director. And the reason I'm saying this is how stupid it is. Holding the DVD up, if you want to watch, check out the YouTube video of this. In big red writing on the front, it says, directed by Paul Verhoeven. Right, Alex, before we dive into this, I've got two things that I've been thinking about for a while, but I was like, I can't text Alex about this. This is probably best saved for a podcast discussion as a non sequitur.
Yeah. If you're listening out there and you want to have like a normal relationship with your friends where you just discuss things as they come up in conversation or when you really want to talk to somebody, don't start a podcast with them, because then you may have to hold off. What were we doing the other day? We were talking about something, weren't we? And I said, no knowledge and insight until it's business hours. Yeah, so that, you know, our friendship doesn't function quite on a normal level these days.
First up, we're above it. This is a fantastic movie to start with. One, because I'd never seen Robocop before.
Yeah.
Two, which is going to undermine what I'm just about to undermine myself based on what I've just said, is my absolute favourite sort of genre / time period of movies is like 80s, 90s action movie. I just don't think there's anything I like better. So like Terminator, Demolition Man, well, Robocop we add to this list, Die Hard, Speed, Under Siege, like all those types of movies. There's something I just love about them and find them, I don't know, they're just pure joy. It's like, in my head, it's like someone sat down to write a script for a movie, and before they've gone, can I turn this into a 700 movie saga that we can turn it, that we can make billions out of? They have just gone, I don't know, robot cop sounds fun. Big explosions, let's make him do this because that sounds cool. Does it make sense? Nah, who gives a fuck? Beverly Hills Cop's another one that I'm a big fan of.
Everything Jackie Chan did that was good was in this period.
So yeah, like I say, I'm just so into this sort of type of movie, and Robocop was a real blind spot of mine, having been into that. The second thing is, right, this is going to take a minute, but I feel like I've thought this through and I think this makes sense. I think you and I have spoke about this sort of slightly tangentially over the years, certainly probably at uni sometime, but like when I was a kid, I spent all this money buying, like for years my pocket money would go on VHS tapes, and I had this massive collection, and then DVDs came along and my brain was like, well, VHSs are utterly pointless now, they need to go away. Obviously nobody was buying VHSs at the time, so they were just basically went in the bin, I think, a lot of them. So then I started, and then spent years building up a massive DVD collection, and then at some point Blu-rays came along and I was like, well, my DVD collection is pointless now. So out went the DVDs.
Shout out to my friend Simon, who has, or had at least, the largest HD DVD collection I've ever seen. And I believe he broke his HD DVD player, so I sold him my add-on for my Xbox 360 so he could carry on. Honestly, he had like dozens.
He
got basically everything that there was ever released that he cared about, man. On HD DVD. Yeah.
Similar happened with CDs as well. I never really had tapes. I think that sort of missed me, but I had a massive CD collection. And then,
I had mini disc players and stuff.
Yeah, I don't even own a CD player anymore, I don't think. So like that went away and just became Spotify or like illegally downloaded music.
Like I say, I don't even own the music that I listen to these days. Like I stuck to not Spotify for ages, just buying albums by bands, and then I realized like, hang on, Apple Music is probably, or Spotify or whatever, is far more valuable than buying albums one at a time.
Which then tied into a conversation I was having with my friend, shout out to Scott, who is cancelling all his subscription services, so Netflix, Paramount Plus, Amazon Prime, it's all going. And he's getting Sky TV and Sky Sports, because Sky TV apparently now is mega cheap. I was looking, you can get it, like, if you don't get the sports, it's like £25 a month now. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, for the amount I watch TV, the only thing I actually want to watch is sports. So
I have Sky TV basically for that as well.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Cause he's got a Disney, he had like a lot of subscription services, which then got me thinking. Cause for a while I was like, right, I'm not having physical media when it comes to movies and stuff, because it's a mug's game. You end up on this treadmill and you're constantly having to replace the stuff you buy with the better quality versions. So for years I've been buying the digital versions of, on Amazon Prime, of the movies that I want to keep, that
buying or
on a streaming service.
Not renting.
No, I've been
purchasing. Actually buying them.
Yeah. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, I know places like Netflix say they stream 4K, but it's not real 4K, is it? And And I was like, well, the versions of these movies I've bought on Amazon aren't 4K either. So then I was like, and even if they were, well,
oh, you bought the SD version.
There's, well, there's also there'll be HD, but there's no way to download a local copy. You have, they're always streamed, so you're always going to have a lesser quality. Which then links back to my Spotify thing we're talking about. Like, if it, this is, have I accidentally opened a can of worms here, in which I've realised that even if you divorce yourself from physical media, you're actually still on the treadmill, whether you like it or not, of having to periodically upgrade the things you really care about. Because, like I say, even though I've got like, and it's like, it, so it,
well, Netflix charges for the 4K.
Well, yeah,
anyway.
and then the Spotify thing, like if you, like I say, like I've sort of turned up a rock or like overturned a rock that I shouldn't have. Like if you're really into your audio, like a massive audiophile, Spotify is not good quality, is it? I mean, there's like higher bitrate stuff like Tidal that do better quality stuff, and then I think actually having the full uncompressed downloaded version of the song on locally is going to be always better than streaming it.
I mean, people will say listening to an LP is the way to go there, aren't they?
Yeah, because that's the uncompressed, that's just like, that's the actual noise compressed, so you're hearing it as it was recorded, right? It's not been edited. So then, which got me thinking, should I, and then I was like totting up the prices of all my subscriptions and stuff, and I was like, should I just bin my subscription services and invest in a 4K DVD player, and if I want to watch something, I'll just either buy the Blu-ray version, and if I'm like really into the movie, I'll buy the 4K version, and then just be done with that? Because it's actually like, I was thinking about the actual, like, so I've got Disney Plus, can't remember the last time I even opened up that app. Paramount, I've sort of,
you haven't got a kid though, so there, yeah,
I've sort of dawdled about there. Netflix, I haven't used in, I don't know, years, but I've still got it. I was just like, the money I'm spending is perhaps, maybe I need to make a triumphant return to physical media, I guess is the long story short, and just try and be careful with what I'm buying rather than building up massive collections and just accept that no matter what happens, I'm going to be on this treadmill of replacing media every 10 to 15 years, whether I like it or not.
If you are going to do that, I guess the way for you to do it is the disc drive for the PS5 is £100.
All right, okay, maybe that's the way to do it, because I've been Googling like the best, I've been Googling like reviews of like the best 4K players and stuff like that, and Sony does seem to be the one that people always talk about. So yeah, long story short, I'm thinking about getting back into the movie physical media game. Like, I've got a nice big TV, like a 4K TV, and it's like I'm actually not getting the use out of this screen by streaming shit from the internet. I could have a better quality experience by getting back into physical media. What do you think, Alex? Am I just looking for a way to waste more money?
Well, maybe. I mean, I have still got a massive, really extensive DVD collection.
Do you use them?
Well, I did just now. I just finished using a Robocop DVD, and the quality of DVD should not be forgotten, because it's still really good. Like, arguably, a lot of the time, DVD quality is going to be better than Netflix 4K if you've got a bad internet like I do. So that was still, you know, that was through my PS5 upscaled on a 4K TV. I don't know how big my TV is, 50 inches or whatever. It looked really crisp, looked really nice. And it's a film from whenever it is from, early 90s, isn't it? Or very late 80s, 1990.
You said you've got the 4K version of Lord of the Rings, and I was like, oh, that would be so fun to get that and just sit and watch them one weekend in glorious 4K. And then I was thinking, just getting the odd cool movie. I mean, Blade Runner would be another good one, I think, that would be fun in 4K. And then I was looking at other stuff. So, like, Paramount Plus, I've been really lightly dabbling in the Halo TV show. And I was like, well, so am I just going to end up with these streaming services anyway to watch, like, exclusive stuff? And then, so I had a look, but then Halo is on 4K DVD as well. So if I really want to watch it, it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about getting back into it.
Yeah, 4K DVD is still quite pricey. Mm-hmm. I usually stick one on a Christmas list or whatever for something I'm really in, like wanting to watch that year or watch again that year, you know, or an absolute classic that I absolutely love. Like I've got Old Boy on 4K DVD, and I've got, as you said, I've got the Lord of the Rings stuff as well. But I mean, Blu-ray is still like really good quality if you put it into a decent player on a decent TV. So I've got quite a lot of them as well.
I'm thinking about doing away with streaming services, long and the short of it, going back to physical media.
What we should all do really is what half of my extended family do, where they just have IPTV fire sticks and just fucking steal everything.
I just think, other than sport, the only actual thing I like, it's rare for me to really feel I
steal sport, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that I get my money's worth from my subscriptions. I may be doing spurts, but I actually genuinely think there's a chance that if I'd got rid of all my subscriptions, and I would, at worst, break even if I just went to start buying movies. Because I've got my Cineworld card, so like I watch most of my movies at the cinema these days.
Yeah.
I don't actually watch that many at home. I'm usually playing video games if I've got some free time or reading a book.
Yes, same. Yeah. Well, I guess we're trying to branch out with this format.
Mm-hmm.
Where with everything has been consumed in physical media, except RoboCop for me, the game, but we'll get to that later.
We will. How do you want to start this, Alex? Now that I've...
Let's talk about we'll talk about the film for a bit.
What a cool
and then
film.
when we think we've covered it enough, we'll talk about we'll go into the game, which was also very cool.
So give me, so I sort of know where you're coming from, and like I said, I've already said, my exposure to RoboCop was that I knew he existed, but I hadn't actually seen any of the movies at any point ever. It's a bit like, I think up until last year, I hadn't seen an Indiana Jones film right through.
That's mad.
I must have absorbed like a whole movie.
It's too prevalent in pop culture.
Yeah, bits and pieces, or being in a room where my dad was watching it or something over the years. I've like eventually I'd sort of picked out most of the movie when I watched it, because I remember thinking of it, but I'd never actually sat down to watch it. RoboCop, I knew he existed, and that was it.
Hmm. I can't remember when I got this. When was this DVD even released?
Because it came out in the late 80s, right? 1987, I think the first one came out.
Yeah, the year after I was born. I have no idea when this DVD was released, but I must have had this DVD for like 15 years minimum. So I probably first watched the original on that. Was aware of RoboCop as a kid, obviously, as you probably were as well, because he was kind of everywhere for a bit. There's the, you know, the infamous WCW skit where I think promote the second film, and he saved Sting from getting beaten up by, he was in a shark cage and RoboCop breaks out of a shark cage and helps out Sting, which is amazing. But I played some of the games when I was a kid. I had a game for the Amiga, I think, just a RoboCop game that I remember playing that was ridiculously difficult. RoboCop versus Terminator on the Mega Drive is an all-time classic, by the way. That's, if we're talking RoboCop games, that you need to try that.
Is it good, is it?
Really good. But I'm really gutted, actually, because I went, and it must have been with John when I worked at Blockbuster in Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see RoboCop because they showed it at the Picture House.
Oh, brilliant. Which shut down now, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But that was one of my favorite movie experiences, because everybody in the audience knew the film and everyone was like loving it and laughing at all the silly bits. And such a great time. Don't know why I wouldn't have gone with you as well, or why I didn't tell you about it. Maybe it was just a thing when I was at work and he was like, RoboCop's on tonight, let's go. And we did.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. But that's, and every time I've watched it since, like now, for this, I just think it's fantastic. It's, you know, it's not an absolute Oscar-winning classic, but it's a cult classic for a reason.
It's fun. It's like...
It's really fun.
And I think, I don't know, I came away... I always assumed that, and maybe I'm wrong in this, so feel free to tell me I'm speaking at my backside, but before I started playing the game and before I started watching the movie, I thought RoboCop was like a super serious thing, but it's not. It sort of knows it's a bit silly and sort of makes fun of itself, especially the game. It just knows where it's going OTT. Like there's a scene you mentioned that I found absolutely hilarious when I was watching the movie. It's when ED20, what's the 209 absolutely eviscerates that man in the office, and then like the company owner just after he's just watched this bloodbath take place just can't wait. I am very disappointed. There is no way that this game does this movie does not know what it is.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of satirical notes in it, isn't it? I mean, yeah, aren't, you know, talking about sort of consumerist society and things like that. But yeah, that's the most cursed boardroom in the world, right? Because doesn't somebody also die from that boardroom right at the end of the film as well?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and that's how the guy with the long arms falls out the window.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, like it's obviously like a police robot, and it eviscerates the man. Like it doesn't just like. Yeah. Put him out of action like you would expect.
Oh my god.
Please. It goes full blown. Like, I'm surprised there's anything left of him. Because the size that those bullets must be, like if you rolled him onto his back, it just must be gore.
Oh, there'd be less of him than there is of Robocop. He'd have less. You know, Robocop's at least got his chin, which reminds me of your brilliant observation of why doesn't everybody just aim for Robocop's chin? It's the only exposed bit. Shoot him in the fulcrum, you dicks. What are you playing at?
Yeah.
Did you have any idea that his you probably didn't. Did you just think like Robocop was like built?
So I knew.
Did you realize it was from the absolutely fucking decimated corpse of a policeman?
So I had some sort of somehow absorbed the idea that he was a police officer that was then like KIA. Or injured? No, I think if you had asked me, I would have said like heavily injured.
Okay.
And then they sort of just thought, well, I don't know. I honestly would have thought like he'd just fallen a vat of acid and his body was just mangled. So they just sort of rebuilt him.
Later.
But yeah, like he's a full on robot. Like he's got programming and stuff like that. And it's unclear. Probably unclear, like I'm probably thinking about it too much, but it's unclear where the robot stops and starts and where.
They certainly play into that more in the later films, and of course they do play that into that quite a lot in the game. Mm-hmm. What's weird is that they talk about the fact that they erase his memory, but I guess they don't erase all of his memory.
Yeah,
is that the problem? Why he suddenly remembers things? There's a bit in the second movie, right, where basically at the beginning of the movie, he's like he keeps apparently driving to his wife and his kid's house every single day.
Ooh.
And just kind of looking at them and then driving off. Another point I want to just quickly throw in there is I find it fucking hilarious that Robocop just has to drive like a normal car.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't get like a Batmobile. He's just got like a Vauxhall Astra or some shit. Like,
it must be so like lopsided because he must weigh an absolute ton. Like, the springs are just shot.
Be so strong, yeah. Fucking hell.
And it is like obviously like car design has changed over the years, but it just looks like such a dump of a car as well. He's just like driving about in this rusty old sedan.
Oh, so good. And I guess they have to have a stuntman in there or a stunt driver who has to wear like in the second film, especially when I've seen him driving around, he's at least wearing like a top and a hat, like a helmet and sort of thing to drive about. But yeah, so he keeps going to do this, and then like I think his wife gets some sort of lawyer to try and sue the OCP because she wants to move on with her life. It's a really confusing scene because basically Robocop gets berated by the equivalent to the guy in the game who's like forcing him to go through all these like psychological trials. There's a similar guy to that. He's like a lawyer for OCP. And he like berates Robocop. He's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Like looking, do you think you could be a husband to her? Like you can't do this. You're not even a man. You're not Alex Murphy, you're Robocop. And then after that, having known that it's his wife who's sort of suing OCP because Robocop won't leave her alone, she then shows up to his little his little cage where he sits in his seat and you get your evaluation.
Gets recharged, yeah.
Comes up to him and she's like, shit, like you are Alex. And he's like, touch me. And he gets her to touch, she touches him through the through the cage on his face.
Right,
like, oh, you're cold.
Right on his chin, or has he got his face?
On his lips. Oh. His lips. She's like, oh, they're cold. And he's like, yeah, I'm not Alex Murphy. Your husband is dead. I don't know you. And just turns around and then she walks out crying. You see the guy still getting to leave you a lot. Oh, very confusing.
Why are you driving her house, you maniac?
And that's never heard of again for the rest of the film. Just like thrown away. I thought they were going to really, because I was watching the second film, and I'll get into that briefly after we've talked about the original. The second film seemingly gets a bad rap, but no, it's perfectly fine. I enjoyed my time with it. It's just not, it's probably not as iconic as the first film. It's a lot more violent, or at least there's a lot more action in
it. I might watch it then.
The film is very violent.
I've been watching like reviews and stuff, and people always said like the first one, and what I had sort of absorbed was the one to watch, and it's kind of downhill after that. But
there's no question it's downhill.
We'll give it a watch. Because like, what are you expecting from RoboCop? Like Oppenheimer level.
Well, what's really interesting about RoboCop 2 and the fact that it's like so badly criticized. Well, you look on IMDb, you'll see a lot of reviews on there. The user reviews being like, "Oh, people are too hard on this. It's perfectly good action film." Like I say, there's a lot more action to it. I think one of the big problems that a lot of people seem to have with the second one is that there's a kid in it who's like the sidekick of the main villain, and he swears a lot and he shoots people.
So Terminator 2
calls
then,
women bitches.
What's the last?
He's worse than Terminator 2. Big, way worse, because that's just a bratty kid who hangs around with the Terminator. This is like an actual antagonist, and he dies. There's loads of kids in there. One kid in the second film, right? Because they go into this brief comedy routine where like RoboCop basically gets captured by the second villain, tortured to shit in a warehouse, and they chuck bits of him back to the police department out of a car, out of a moving car. They just lob this broken RoboCop, and then OCP have to fix him. But they put all this, they've got some issue with like RoboCop needs to be more of a role model to kids because he keeps killing everybody who's a criminal or whatever. So this woman puts loads of this stupid programming in, and he becomes like a comedy character where he. Some kids are like, because this is, you know, in the game, the police are on strike.
Is this why there's a bit in the game where you can do like, you can do a dance, like a robot dance? Is that where that comes from?
I think that might be the third one. He definitely doesn't dance in the film from what I remember. But it's more like, because the police are on strike, like everyone's just committing crimes. The beginning of the second film starts with an incredible, like, crime montage where, like, there's a homeless woman with a trolley full of cans, then a police car, then a car runs the trolley of cans over, and she's like scrambling to pick them up. A dude comes over to help her, but then steals her purse, and he's running off with her purse. Then he gets tripped up and beaten the shit out of by two prostitutes, two hooers, who like steal from him. And then they're running along, and then they run past a shop, like a weapon shop that blows up. And then people inside are like shooting the owner and stealing all of his bazookas to kill RoboCop. It's fucking wild. Because there's so much crime going on, like RoboCop goes to this, like, I don't know, electronic shop. And there's like a baseball, looks like a baseball team, a kid's baseball team, like holding up the store owner, beating him up with baseball bats. And then RoboCop like comes in and tries to teach the kids manners and talks about, he says like, and now to talk about nutrition. And he starts just saying really stupid things like that. He like shoots around some, you know, when people like shoot around the guy and leave like a little silhouette or a chalk outline in bullets because he's smoking. And he's like, you know, thank you for not smoking. And then he just becomes a bit, it just gets a bit silly briefly in the middle there before he then tries to remove all the programming, which I won't spoil for you because it's very funny.
So there's one thing I got confused about then in the first movie. There's like the OCP guy that sort of for a period of time usurps the second in command guy that gets killed at the end of the movie. I thought he was the same guy that's in the game.
It's just like a carbon copy, isn't it? Almost?
Yeah, because I was like, they're the same people. And then he gets blown up in the movie. And I was like, oh, does he survive? Has he like come back in the second movie or something? But no, I don't think so.
There's another one of those in the second movie. He's also not the guy in the game. So I think the second film, the use of children in there, I think people have an issue with. The whole reason I brought up all that stuff about the plot is one of the kids, when he's trying to stop them from holding up that store, says to him, "Go fuck a refrigerator, peck a neck," which I found quite a good insult.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Like dick neck?
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, I don't think pecker means the same in America, maybe, that it does in the UK. It's just like a fanny thing.
Yeah. Another thing, I've gone off on so many tangents for this, probably because I've just watched RoboCop 2. The funny thing about the criticism that it gets is that it was directed by Irvin Kershner, who was the director of Empire Strikes Back.
Different actor, different director. That's
Unusual. And written by Frank Miller, who also wrote the third one.
Frank Miller?
Yeah. Of course, Dark Knight Returns.
Exactly.
Fame. So, very, you know, a widely respected comics writer.
Yeah.
Wrote apparently the two worst.
There's a famous comic book writer, and I can't remember the name of the one that gets involved in the graphic novel of Terminator versus Robocop.
I really want to read that.
I think that's him as well. It may not be. It might be worth a Google.
He did write Robocop comics. I did read that. So maybe it was Frank Miller.
Written
by Frank Miller. You're absolutely right.
Well, it's in my brain. I just want to say it's unusual, even for a movie of this type and era, to be almost completely devoid of a love interest. Like, it's rare to get a movie that there's no love interest in.
It's quite respectable that his main interest on a human level is just to be a good partner and friend to Lewis, who he maintains that with as the series goes on. But there's no, I mean, you can't have a love interest. Look at the state of him.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, like,
apparently he's got a pecker for a neck. So, yeah. I mean, that doesn't work from a logistical standpoint.
I was trying to work out. There's a sort of, there's an emotional connection between him and Lewis. And she does get her chebs out right at the beginning of the first movie for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
And then never again.
Oh, she does.
I was like, yeah, this is 80s needless nudity. Here we come. But yeah, like, I don't know. There's like a, it's not, I don't know, it's not quite love, but there's certainly a, I don't mean to be dismissive here or maybe unfair, but there's an almost an unearned closeness between Robocop and, what's her, I'm blanked on her name.
And Lewis,
yeah, because like at the start, like, he dies literally on their first day. So they've known each other for about 4 hours, and then he comes back.
Or is it his first day?
It's his first day, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed, and then she comes back, and then all of a sudden by the end of the movie they're like close, like besties, and I'm like,
maybe the part of that is just the guilt, isn't there? Because she sort of leaves him.
Yeah, they
split
up.
They get separated and then he gets fucking annihilated. That shotgun to the hand is so needlessly savage right at the beginning.
I would be interested to see how this was received in the 80s, because it was like brutal, and then it was like went to a point where you're like, oh my god, what are they doing? And then when you actually get to the end of the scene, like the point where your brain goes, oh my god, what are they doing, that was like the first 10%. And then they keep going. It reminds me a little bit, I remember, again, I don't know where it was, but I think I spoke to you about it when I was watching the Predator movie. I was watching the special features after I'd watched that movie, and there's a bit where they're looking for Predator. It might not even be the first one, but in the jungle anyway. I think that's the first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Predator 2's in the city. There's a bit where they think they see him, and then the guy that's got the massive gun just like unloads every bullet he's got into this, and they basically just like level this forest.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've said it was meant to be almost like a sexual, like climactic, just like explosion of violence that had no point to it. And it kind of reminded me of that. I wonder if that was just a thing that happened in these movies during that era, where they just thought, like, violence is what people wanted.
Yeah, and you know, this is post Video Nasty era as well.
What's that?
So, like, you know, the Video Nasties, which was like referred to, like, you know, low budget, like horror and exploitation films. On like VHS in the early 80s, they basically, like, there's a loophole in film classification, so that if stuff that was brought straight to video, they didn't have to put it through the BBFC, so it just came out to like horrific shit. So maybe at this point, it's the Video Recordings Act that was created after, like, in 1984. So maybe because of that, like, people had seen worse shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're just a bit desensitized to it. I'm not sure. Maybe the moral panic around that kind of thing had died down by the time RoboCop came out. I'm not sure.
I do also think it's difficult to. I mean, it's less relevant in the UK, but if you watch any of the news ever, you kind of can't miss it. It's sort of, it's difficult. It's impossible to watch these sort of era movies and not be reminded of the sort of current political climate around the police in America. Like,
yeah.
So, like, again, like, this one, RoboCop, Lethal Weapon, Beverly Hills Cop, like, even Demolition Man to an extent. Like, it's all about, like, rogue cops that distribute sort of Judge Dredd level, like, on the street justice to the criminals. Yeah. And I don't know, it sort of struck me as an interesting contrast in how different the American political landscape is. It, like, obviously that was what people wanted back in the 80s and 90s in terms of entertainment, but I cannot imagine something like that coming out and doing well in 2024.
Yeah, maybe they, was there like a rise of sort of hero cop stuff after that for a bit? Maybe.
Yeah.
But you're right, there does always seem to have to be like an anti-hero, so, as you say, like a renegade loose cannon policeman. There was a big thing about, and even Die Hard as well, wasn't it? It's all
Stop
there.
Stop her, my mum will shoot.
I've never seen that. I want
so
to see
good.
That.
Oh, it's so good, man. Yeah, it's just like, nice. Yeah, it just sort of jumps out to me as a bit of a contrast in that, like, yeah, like you're saying, like the police going around with their guns blasting criminals, and now there's like campaigns to defund the police and stuff like that. America's still as gun nuts as it ever was.
Yeah.
But I don't know, in a sort of different direction, which I thought was interesting.
True. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's I don't think I've ever seen in a film RoboCop arrest anybody.
No, he just kills them. Blows them to even gets his own special gun that will eviscerate people.
What a cool gun. That he slits back into his thigh. Talking about, like, I guess film making part of it, one of my favorite parts is like the transition, you know, from when RoboCop is shot in the head, he sort of blacks out from being shot in the head, and then the blackout, then the next time it comes, like, fades back in, it's his like RoboCop vision, and as they're building him, like, I'm a big fan of that was parodied in Spaced as well.
Oh, was it?
the whole episode with the Robot Wars thing, there's a lot of RoboCop references in that, from what I can remember.
Excellent.
Where they're sort of doing the same sort of vision about that. But there's a lot of dark humor in it as well. Big fan of the bit where RoboCop saves that woman who's being held up by shooting through her skirt into the guy behind her.
Oh, God, yes.
And then there's like a, I think, isn't there like a, there's like one of the evil guys in Clarence's gang or whatever, he like distracts Lewis by kind of like looking at his dick, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Like, he's having a pee, and then she comes in and she just checks out his massive penis.
Yeah.
They're another thing I quite liked is, I mean, they are silly, the bad guys in this, but
yes,
one thing that jumped out to me when I watched Predator 2 recently is that I actually never Googled it, but I'd be interested to know which movie came out first, because the bad guys in Predator 2 are almost like, I always think of them like theater stage villains. They're sort of over the top. They're like dressed like they're in costumes rather than just criminals. And at some point during this era of film, there's a switch between like villains being over the top. They've all got mohawks. They're all like, they're from an episode of like the movie Waterworld. And then they just sort of turn into normal people. This turn a bit grimy. I mean, even Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man, he's wearing like brightly colored dungarees and stuff. They're like, they're a little bit weird, and they just sort of make them look punky, like they're on a stage show. Do you know what I'm getting at? Like, I know I'm not explaining myself well, but I thought the bad guys in this are fairly okay. Like, the guns and stuff they run about with are ridiculous, but the actual way they look, they're just like normal people. Even like the
especially
main,
Clarence.
Clarence, yeah. Is that Red?
He looks like a librarian
from that 70s show. Is that who Clarence is? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's very normal, even if he does walk into a room and shout, "Bitches, leave!" Well, they're in... Is that Dick's house that he's in?
Yeah.
That's Dick. Because, yeah, he's the one who gets blown up, right? And but Bob is the sort of head of the RoboCop program, but is like his superior.
Yeah.
Because that's when... He's talking shit about him in the toilets, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then Dick's kind of sat in there. And then doesn't he say something like, I've got it here. I used to call the old man funny names. Iron Butt. Boner. I mean, why would you refer to anybody as Boner?
Did you notice when, see when you go up the lift in the OCP building in the game, you can go and walk around that toilet scene.
Can you?
Yeah, they've remade that exact toilet and the exact layout and all the bits and pieces.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there's so much of that.
The reference to the source material in Rogue City is outstanding. Like, it's everything perfect.
Yeah, even reminded me of when you were talking about how he still got to drive about in a normal car.
Mm.
That is like they rip that loading screen as you're leaving the police station is the exact another exact like when I watched it I was like holy shit that's from the game but obviously it's the other way around
exactly the little sort of like outside kind of it's like a weird angle like just there's always a car pulling in out of nowhere I think I said to you as well 1980s stuntman death like reactions to getting shot
so
these
good.
One and two are absolutely full of them. I love them. Like I obviously I've never seen a man be shot in real life. I just would never expect them to leap backwards.
I think that's unlikely,
I think that's very very unlikely. But as I said, the second film's got far more action in it. Like it's a full-on like every couple of minutes there's somebody's like some explosion or whatever. They've got like quite a lot of stuff from the game obviously as the game is supposed to follow on from RoboCop 2. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of stuff in that. So Maya Kuzak is in RoboCop 2.
Is he? Right, okay.
Yeah, he's quite a big role in it, actually. RoboCop 2 is in RoboCop 2, which is really weird because RoboCop 2 in the film RoboCop 2 is bad, basically from the start.
As in another RoboCop?
You know, in the game, you have to have that boss fight with RoboCop 2 at the end, and it's got like the screen of the old man, like his face is on the screen.
Oh yeah.
And they have him at you were at a presentation at one point as well,
the old MacGuffin comes out.
You sort of stood next to him. Yeah. Well, in the film that precedes the game, like RoboCop 2 has gone on a fucking shooting spree because he is embodied by the brain of a fucking drug addicted, like the main villain of the second film. The way RoboCop kills him is fucking hilarious as well. I don't know if it's not really spoiling it for you.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, these movies, I don't think it's possible to spoil these movies.
Yeah. Because they build RoboCop 2 by getting the brain and nervous system and eyes of this criminal guy. But it's also, he's addicted to Nuke, which I don't think was in the first film either, or at least it wasn't.
Not that I can recall, no. Certainly prevalent in the game.
Yeah, and they also talk a lot about, they don't mention it by name, but they start talking about Delta City in RoboCop 2 as well. They have like a big presentation about it, and Maya Kuzak's there.
Maybe really there is a drug factory, sort of drug factory, quotation marks, that you go into in RoboCop 1 in the movie.
There's a big shootout in there.
That's
where most stuntmen are hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must. Yeah, maybe. I can't remember. I thought it was cocaine.
I assume it's cocaine. Going flying. Well, the guy that gets blown up in his house. He's like sniffing cocaine off all the women.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? Yeah. But yeah, this one is more definitely that they're using Nuke all the way through, like injecting it in their necks and all this kind of shit. But yeah, because he's addicted to Nuke in real life, RoboCop 2, the robot, is addicted to Nuke, and he's got like this slot, and they have this sort of industrial vat of Nuke that they want to put in him. So they stick it in him to distract him, and then RoboCop basically jumps on his back, rips the brain and spinal cord out of the back of the robot and just smashes it on the floor with his hand. Did not expect that in him just squishing a brain on the floor. Fucking brilliant.
That's one thing that I both enjoyed and would periodically not be able to equate in my head. Like, RoboCop is not the most mobile of antagonists in the world. So like, I find action scenes in which he's in slightly comical. Like, there's a bit, is it when he goes to OCP and in Ed 209 starts shooting at him? Mm. And he's just sort of like, he just sort of spins on the spot a few times and falls over a lot. There's no like sprinting about because he can't really. I mean, like, that's another problem. No. It's like criminals, one, shoot him in the chin, two, leg it.
Just run at any normal human speed and he's not catching you.
He's not, surely not.
I'm a big fan of 1980s, early 90s stop motion practical effects. Like, I think they're really funny.
Yeah.
And I respect the craft of it, because it must have taken so much effort to like do these models and move them so intricately like that. But in the second film, there is a lot of RoboCop as a stop motion thing as well. When he's having fights with RoboCop 2, I mean, it looks like you'd expect. It looks like two toys being like thrown around by a nerd in a studio. There's a bit where they're like hanging off the edge of the building, and it really just looks like a 2-year-old's just chucked a toy over a bit of plastic. But there's all the fights with those two, like, yeah, they look very obviously stop motion practical effects. But there's a charm to that. There's an honesty to it, and it's in the first film with Ed 209 as well. And
I did say this to you.
I can't help but like it.
We were chatting about it, and I was watching the Ed 209 stuff, thinking, "Oh, this stuff has aged pretty poorly." But then I watched this. The special features at the end, and I was actually, no, you're right. These are like, this is a stop motion, animation of like a car, or like something that they've put together with like cardboard and some nails that they got down the hardware store. It's like, actually, what they've managed to do here with the limitations and the constraints that they were operating within, and these movies must have been quite low budget. It's quite amazing, actually. Really good job. They haven't aged quite as well as sort of the Star Wars. What is it, like the physical effects and the?
I mean, Star Wars. They just basically were like toys just being held in front of a black space screen, weren't they? Really?
It's interesting to watch different eras of special effects. I find that really interesting. You know, like I remember Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs, where Dr. Grant sees the Diplodocus for the first time. Remember that was just like this massive thing where it's just like, look how good these look. The T-Rex still looks amazing to this day, but the Diplodocus section looks poor. I think
The T-Rex do look good in that. Yeah. And again, the practical T-Rex looks even cooler.
Yeah, the Raptor stuff is amazing with all the all the puppets and stuff that they used. And then there's another one I was thinking about. It's like a sort of halfway house. Yeah, the first time I remember watching a truly like CGI animated thing that I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing, was... Is it Terminator 3 or 4? What's the one with the female Terminator in it? It must be 3.
That's 3, yeah.
There's a bit where there's like a big crane that crashes and it goes up on its end and flips over. That's all CGI. And I remember thinking, that looks unbelievable. Yeah. But and then I went back a couple of years ago and it again looks fake. It's just funny how your eyes adapt. But then this goes back to like, I think I said this in the Donkey Kong podcast. I remember playing Donkey Kong thinking, graphics can't get any better than this, and now look at the state. Look at the state of us.
The multi-man Mr. Smith fight in Matrix 2 also looks incredibly dated.
Oh, does it? Oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
It's
very funny, that sort of stuff. But yeah, like the only thing that I really was like, this looks daft, but I was still entertained by it. I think we've mentioned it already. Was at the end where the second in command guy gets shot out the window. Ridiculously long arms. He looks like Slender Man as he's falling out the window.
I don't understand how that could have been intentional to look like that.
Talk about how he was made, and he's basically a foam puppet that they made.
Someone just did not get the arm.
They did not get the proportions right. They made a mess of that, but still great movie. Fun. Like I say,
really fun.
My favorite thing about this era of movies is they made movies and they did things that they thought would be fun rather than having any other ulterior motive to try and drive profit or even, I don't know, I'm sure there are movies around during this era. In fact, there definitely are movies around this era that people are trying to go for more serious topics. But yeah, there's a strain of these 1980s, 90s, action movie that is just unlike anything else, and I love it. And RoboCop's another great example of that.
Yeah. I mean, we've just been talking about practical effects, and we didn't even mention when Emil gets fucking toxic waste all over and he comes out looking like...
Oh my God, that's so good. And he gets run over and just explodes.
It gets eviscerated into like Ribena.
He just starts melting.
By his own boss as well, just runs him the fact. Oh, so good. Because what is it? Is he stuck in like a toxic?
He drives his thing? Weird,
yeah, that's it.
Delivery truck into a toxic waste.
That's it. I knew I shouldn't have watched RoboCop 2 so soon before recording. So all my memories are of that now. But yeah, when he comes out, he's like, help
oh,
me. Man. In the cinema, people were like losing their minds at that. We're all just like pissing ourselves. When he gets run over, it's just a classic moment. So good.
I don't know if this is the point that you want to do this or not, but how well do you feel like the game evokes the RoboCop-ness of the IP?
Oh, I don't know how you can do it any better.
Yeah. I kind of in full agreement.
In every way, it matches it. Like, even the bad ways, it's on it.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the budget of the game? Because the game heavily reuses environments. I encountered nothing on the same level as you, but I encounter a lot of like low-level annoying bugs. The game doesn't really adapt beyond like the first hour. It is just sort of the same thing over and over again. So it's sort of asset light.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot out of what they've done. It feels low budget to me, but in a way that fits the IP, and I was quite happy.
The films look low budget. Yeah. It's weird. Taeon is the developer. Like, they are almost like a go-to developer for if you want to make something from a B movie.
So what else have they done?
And the game was a B movie. They did that Terminator game that everyone really likes as well.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Terminator Resistance.
People do quite like that game, yeah.
I would quite like to give a go to.
Yeah. It's a first-person shooter, right? Stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a PS5 version that came out quite recently, which I have.
Add it to the movie.
But I've not played that. But it's, there are, we might as well talk about them now, because we'll move over to the game now and we can talk about some problems that we had. I showed you, I don't know if I did.
Are you talking about the bugs you got? Because I think I saw a conversation you had on Twitter with KDB about them. Is that what you were talking about?
Well, yeah, I told you about that bug as well. So initially I had the game on PS5. So there's a PSA for anybody out there. If you have the option to play this either on PC or Xbox, play it on there. Because the PS5 version of this game has a bug in it where for every single camera cut in every single cutscene, all the models of the people in it become pixelated for a split second. And it is noticeable, and it is incredibly off-putting, and it ruins immersion in any of the scenes or enjoyment of any of the scenes. And I was thinking it was so bad at one point that I looked it up online and saw that people were saying, this isn't an issue on Xbox. I've watched videos online, like, it's just on PS5, and hopefully they patch it soon. And those people were saying this like 3 months ago, and I just thought, fuck this. Like, they're not patching it, clearly. So I had to, that was a Christmas present as well.
Yeah, that's such a shame.
I sold the Christmas present version on the PS5, the disc, and I just got it digitally on Xbox, and it's fine on Xbox. So just don't play this on PS5, because it's not fun.
I'm surprised PS5 is the one that's stinking the place up, because you'd think, like, in the way that the 360 era, people were complaining about the PS3 versions of the game largely because the lead platform was Xbox. I thought if anything it would be the Xbox that would be receiving the problems, but also on top of that, if the PlayStation 5 is having the problems, I would have assumed that the Xbox would have it, and even the PC, because the architecture these days is so similar. It's funny that it's just the PlayStation 5 that seems to be doing this, and I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
We'll never know. Confusing. We're not developers. No. We're not coders. We'll never know. But it's just an unexpected bug from one that I didn't think you would have, especially because I think it seems to have done fairly well. It seems to have been certainly received very well.
This game. Yeah. But it's just so, like, it's so prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, like, in your face in every cutscene that I just don't understand how anybody reviewing it wouldn't have said, like, by the way, this is fucking horrible, and it needs fixing first. I was trying to see if I could find some sales figures. It exceeded the publisher's expectations. It's their biggest ever launch. 435,000 players in its first 2 weeks after release.
It's got to be low budget then, or fairly low budget. I mean, what is low budget these days? Because I don't want to use, like, the Spider-Man budget is
just
astronomical. Yeah. But then, like, I don't know, like, what is that, 350 million, they think, that game costs? Like, how much do you think this game costs? Like, under 50?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I can't find any figures on that right here. But, I mean, they obviously, you know, they paid for Peter Weller to do the voice. Probably doesn't cost a lot these days. I don't know how relevant he is anymore.
I don't even know how much... how expensive is the RoboCop IP these days either to...
Yeah, probably not. They seem to be... Because didn't this developer actually also make that terrible Rambo game that everybody fucking hates?
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah, that game's awful.
The one that's like a on-rails shooter, basically, isn't it? Like,
Reminds me of the Mega Drive Terminator game I remember playing as a kid.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they've absolutely turned their reputation around with the Terminator and RoboCop games.
Well done, guys.
Yeah. I had issues. I mean, the performance of this game, I think, is quite bad. I don't know about if you experienced anything like I did, but at one point I had it where, I mean, a lot of the time, if loads of shit was going on, the frame rate would tank.
So I had one crash where there was like four explosions happened at the same time and the game just hard crashed to desktop.
Okay.
Sorry, well, the main menu. It was on Xbox I played.
I think mine basically did a similar thing where I had that as well, but it didn't crash. It just dropped itself to like 2 frames a second. Mm. And would never come back from that. No matter, even though nothing was happening anymore and it was all finished, like it was, even if it was in cutscenes or whatever, it was just like, it was done. It was just like still images, like a slideshow, basically. So I had to quit that. And one thing as well, like, although I do like the upgrades in the game and how you can do like these PCB boards where you're swapping in these parts, I think they're fucking broken. Like, I don't actually think they work correctly at all.
Well, you know, I see, my complaint is what I was expecting you to go is I don't think, because I quite enjoy the way they've done that as well. In fact, I really enjoy it. It's actually a highlight for me, is messing about with those PCB boards. But I don't think they give you enough of the little nodules to add in so that you can really play with it. Like, I went wild. It was like, say... I don't know if I'm getting these numbers right, but I found board 5.0, and then before the end of the game, I'd found like 3 subsequent boards. At the board 5.0, I went hard to try and get the best stats in that board I could, and then I never had enough nodules to fill out any of the subsequent boards, even by emptying 5.0, if that makes sense. Like,
okay.
It just never gave me enough. So like, if you start like doing what I did, it's going hard into putting them into the sort of randomizer tool.
Yeah.
If you go hard with that, you don't get enough, or at least I found I didn't get enough to continually replenish the ones it was using up, which I thought was a real shame.
Yeah, I was finding that I would have to try and keep at least one version of each of the types, like one direction of each, otherwise I would, as you say, be ending up with nothing. But so there was one board and it said something like the bullets occasionally explode, causing explosive damage. Never once did I see that happen, ever. And I had an actual problem that I would meant to send you a video of, and I haven't done it yet, but I will show it to you, where I had a board that was set to have auto fire, like full auto.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what happened. I think I may have died. Yeah, I did die. It was in that, you know, that bit where there's for fuck, you can't shoot any of the barrels because it'll explode.
Yeah.
Died in there like 10 times.
I hated that section.
Until I started just throwing people. And even then I apparently threw a guy into a barrel and it blew up.
Do you know the problem is? So the problem I had with that is by that point I had an upgrade where the bullets would bounce off me. And it was bouncing off me and exploding the barrels. Yeah, and I was like, you fucking bastard of a game. Why have you done this?
So every time I died in that section, when it would reload me again, my gun wasn't full auto anymore. It was burst fire. So I had to then reload the checkpoint and it would then go full auto again.
That's weird.
So...
I don't necessarily think that
all those upgrades in those boards actually ever worked. Like, I felt like a lot of the time, why are these, it's talking about my bullets splitting or something, and it's talking about, like I say, explosive rounds. I didn't see any of that. And then when it started doing this, like, sometimes I'm full auto, sometimes I'm not, led me to think, like, is it actually doing these?
Yeah, that's weird. That's interesting.
Because a lot of times I'd be like, I've got like armor piercing 70%, and it's still going ting, ting, ting off some dickhead's helmet.
That sucks.
Are you doing the armor piercing or what here? Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm really invested in trying my hardest to make these upgrades, and I'm enjoying what the boards are and the process, like you were.
So good.
I don't know if they actually did anything.
Yeah, that's that. I hope they did, and that was just like sort of a bad run you had. The thing I kept noticing was that the whatever was activating the voices did not sit in time with the bodies. So, like, for example, like, you know how it would bounce off their body, and then like I'd be standing there, and then the guy would like get his arm blown off, and then he'd shoot me, or something would happen, then I'd blow his head off, and he'd still be screaming about having no hand when he had no face and he was dead.
Yeah, that I did see that quite a few times as well. Yeah,
and the other thing is the bomb.
But you killed a guy in the face; his head is in half, and he's like, "I'm gonna get you for this, RoboCop."
Yeah,
no, you're not.
No, you are definitely not.
Unless I slip on half of your brain that's over in the corner over there, then no, you're not gonna get me for this.
The other real problem I had was in that exploding room. I could not figure out how I was meant to work out how to cut the wires in what order. Like, I assume I was meant to follow the line. Impossible to do.
Nowhere near enough time to do that.
So I just went, pause, Google, which ones do I need to cut after, like, the fourth time I had died.
Trial and error, yeah.
Oh, I was like, fuck this. Because I was like, I think it wants me, you obviously had to do, like, highest voltage to lowest voltage. And I think it wants me to follow the wires.
Yeah.
It is impossible to follow these wires because this is just a fucking farted out flat JPEG on a screen that I cannot see.
I mean, what on two of them, one of the wires was a different color. So at least there was that.
But
that was not enough. No, that was awful. I've forgotten all about that. Oh, there was one more bug that I was going to talk about. And it was, the one that I sent the video of you to you of where, I was doing one of the ED-209 boss fights. It's the one where you're in like the fucking NRA convention or whatever it was. And I just ran up some stairs and then he stood still.
He was confused.
And he just did nothing. And I just stood there holding the trigger down. Just that was it. And then I did that again later on in Detroit. He was stuck behind a police car in the distance. And I just stood there and pressed the button. And that was it. He didn't shoot me. He didn't react. He just died. Real shame, because that's like the big boss fights of the game, and yet twice.
Yeah, that sucks. ED-209 did get a couple of hide-ins, even in the movie, though, as well. I forgot to mention how entertained I was when he fell down the stairs and just started screeching on his back.
Neither of us mentioned the fucking noises he makes when he roars nothing higher or something. And he does it in the game, so that's good.
I did text you, because I had my first encounter with ED-209 before I had watched the movie, and I remember like going through that whole section, coming around the corner, and it's just like this, because like other than RoboCop, everything up to that point in that game or that I had experienced was just like standard 80s police, like the cars, the bullet armor they're wearing, the helmets, the guns they were using, everything except RoboCop was 80s as fuck. And then you go around the corner, and then there's just like this like Space Odyssey 2033 thing standing, making tiger noises at me. What have I just walked into? And they're just standing there with their regular riot gear. And I'm like, you can invent robots, but you cannot give your policemen like a riot shield or a better gun.
I guess that's why they make all those little robot guys in the game. Just
constantly broken, though. I mean, like, there is an argument to say that RoboCop's broken, the way he just, like, eviscerates criminals. Like, we spoke about this at like, the end when the Detroit riots are going on. RoboCop deletes everything in sight. Like, there's no, like, are you a criminal? It's like, no, you're just going.
No time for issuing tickets for parking in front of a fucking meter anymore, lads. It's full-on annihilation.
And in the movie, the first criminal that RoboCop encounters, he ends up blowing up an entire petrol station.
It does.
It's like, calm down. Not to lunatic.
I suppose the second film actually talking about that is quite like self-aware. They were saying in the film, like, you know, this guy does seem to kill every criminal that he comes across. Maybe we need to change his programming a little bit. To the point where he then gets bullied by a children's baseball team who call him fucking Peckerneck. Oh, that film is nasty, by the way. Like, the second film is
I'm going to have to watch it. In fact, I'm going to, after we've finished this podcast, I'm logging on to Amazon and getting it purchased. But we're good. Yeah. One of my favorite missions in the game is when you've got to go looking for that lady's cat.
So good.
And then she just ends up with like criminals with no face in her house, and she is just so happy with the situation.
She says, "This is wonderful.
This is wonderful about this. You should have PTSD."
Yeah, she was so annoyed about the noise they were making or whatever it was. She said, "Oh, people doing some bad stuff down in the basement."
That's it. It wasn't a cat. Yeah. There just happened to be a cat. The cats in this game. Did you have the same problem with the cats?
What were they just like mutants?
Mangy mutants. It was like they had It was like they had a normal cat model, and then they just covered it in Triple H WWE game hair.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were more talking about the faces. No. The faces just looked like they put like some kind of squished texture in the middle of the 3D
like
model.
For me, they were like close to a sheep. So it was like bald black face, and then this just bouffant coming out the back of them.
Oh, yours are obviously bald.
Oh, I need to go. I'll need to go on Twitch and see if I've got some examples of the cats, because it was every cat I encountered was just terrifying looking, like I had some sort of disease.
Oh, that's wicked. Your cat code on your game got fucked.
Yeah, it did.
That's brilliant. What the fuck was the deal with that first guy, the first villain in the game, that Soot guy who's in that shitty punk band whose song plays so many
for
times
for the whole game on repeat?
I'm actively looking for speakers to shoot to stop this from happening. There was one in a video shop, which I loved. I loved the fact that I got to go in like a VHS shop and a 1980s arcade, which is also in the second film, and just wreck them completely. That's a great mission as well. You're helping that fucking horrible to as much as I could, because I don't like him. Where you're helping him pick out films, so by scanning the thing.
I don't know if I'm hoping you've got notes, because I couldn't work out what was actually happening. So when I was upgrading my character, you know, we spoke about this. I went the peaceful route and just upgraded all my other stuff before I went to help and violent stuff. There's a bit where you upgrade your stats and it lowers the threshold for your characters. Do you know what that is? Because I guess at the end of the game, when you've got to go around the police station towards, I thought it was the end of the game, you go around and you speak to everyone. Can they get different outcomes then?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay.
Did
you get any bad ones then? Because I got all good ones.
Well, remember we discussed about who we voted for, right? You voted for, not voted for, but you helped the campaign of Kuzak and I helped Mills, right? So my thing where it said about Mills is very, very funny. So my reasoning that I said to you is that, Kuzak's presiding over an absolute shithole of a town.
Yes.
And to me, and if you've seen the second film as well, he's no saint.
He gets interviewed by the press at some point, and there is like corruption charges being leveled at him.
Yeah. There's a...
That's in the game, I think, I see that, not in the movie.
Yeah. So I said to you, like, you know, and also OCP, I know they suck and they're evil or whatever, but I tried to play it like a bit of a dick for a while. It suckered me back in. I'm too nice at my core to actually be a bastard in games, which really annoys me. I'd like to do it one time.
I'm never bad in games. Can't do it.
Yeah, me neither. I couldn't be harsh to Washington. I couldn't be harsh to the reporter. I had to help her out as well. But
so that was once you've done that, once you've found that, I do have a reporter question for you.
Right, yeah, this Xbox app is dog shit loading this picture. Right, so when it talks about, you know, your mayoral choice, mine says, for when I got Mills elected, it said he offered his resignation on his very first day of office. According to reliable sources, Mills expressed, and I quote, "I did not sign up to run this dump." So all of that, he resigns after a day. That's brilliant.
Oh, so good.
What a fuck you to that. That's so good. The mundane, silly, like pointless side shit that this game makes you do is like, I actually really like how stupid it is. Like signing the Get Well card, helping the guy pick out films.
I did text you about helping the guy pick out the Get Well card. There was a bit, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Just walking around. Will you sign this card?
That's excellent. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was talking about Soot, wasn't I? The guy from the beginning and his shitty yes. punk band, right? Why is his voice wrong? Like, he's really well spoken for what he's supposed to be. I was thinking there was a bug at one point, you know, when you were at his gig, because he's like talking to each other while the song's still playing. And like, he's
oh, that's something that happened to me a lot, is you'd be like walking by and someone's having a conversation, then you'd like press A to activate a chat, and everybody behind you is still talking over. Like, shut up. Anyway, sorry.
But Soot later on does actually say, if it wasn't for RoboCop, nobody would have realized that we were playing a recording. So I was like, oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah, he's yeah. Actually, oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, when you bust in on him when he's doing his live show.
Yeah, and the music's still going and he's like just getting annoyed and it's still playing.
Did you
like,
feel that
fuck?
Section the first time you did it? Because I did, because I just started shooting everything that moved and it's like, oh, you've killed civilians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Running show.
Yeah.
Interrogating him was fucking amazing. Just picking up his guitars and just chucking them and like shooting the shit out of all of his stuff. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. I just was throwing guitars in his face. Because you couldn't shoot him. So I just thought, oh, I'm going to throw his stuff in his mouth.
I do agree though, like the sort of silly side quests and stuff, like the cat one. There's
the cat one is great.
You've just got to go looking for this wifey's kid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's like loads of silly the cat one that's not a cat one that I'm going to forever call a cat one. That's an extra mission to help the guy be a good police officer, isn't it?
I managed to do that one.
Do his training. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I was nasty. I kept saying to you, like, oh, I want you to be horrible to him because you were getting so wound up. I watched your first stream and you were like, you hated him.
Yeah, I did.
He was really annoying you on the comms. And then the game kind of wants you to dislike him because he's been put there by OCP, but he is just a good kid, really. And I couldn't be harsh to him.
No.
I like the side missions as well, where like you have to go like do a sort of a full on investigation, like the one with the
actor.
Yes. With that sunblock stuff, which again is in the second film.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. It says something like, there's an advert for it. The second film splices in lots of like satirical adverts in it for, you know, like it really goes in on those. The first film kind of has that, but these ones are more like broadly funny. But yeah, they have an advert for that SPF 5000 or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, continued use will give you skin cancer or something. It's, fucking dumb. But there's another one as well where you're you've got to like investigate the murder of that Simon Page, and you go to that fucking woman's house and she's got like a sex dungeon in her apartment, got like handcuffs tied to the bed. I only missed out on two achievements in this game, actually.
Oh, I missed really loads, and I don't know what I was doing wrong, because I was like trying to comb everything.
Yeah
And
I was really disappointed in that.
Yeah,
and I think I missed like two.
Yeah, I think I, because I saw, again, friend of the show, KDB, had got 1,000 achievement points. And I was like, oh, it must be. And I don't know why I decided, because I've got no idea about his quality of game playing abilities. But I was just like, oh, it must be doable.
Yeah.
And then I started, and I just must have missed too many things, annoyingly.
The only two I missed is I missed one where I have to find a PCB in the secret area of the steel mill. Didn't know there was a secret area. And then the other one is...
Oh, I didn't find the secret area of the arcade. There's like a secret room in the arcade, apparently. It was like, oh, there's an achievement. It's like, find the secret room in the arcade. Didn't get that.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, you had to like open a grate. You had to, I remember seeing that, like when I first walked in, I was like, how the hell do I get in there? And then, yeah, work that out. The other one was, you know, when you got all those, you go to that old factory and there's all those robots that he's like testing on you. You've got to kill all them in under 10 minutes. I didn't do that, apparently.
Oh, no, I didn't do that either.
That's it. I only missed those two. I was gutted.
Well done.
I probably would play this game again, to be fair, at some point. It is. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, I did. And I think, like, I I want to be
clear. It does go on a lot.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I enjoyed this game and I had a great time with it. If I'm trying to be like stick a critic's hat on it, I do feel like it overstayed its welcome somewhat. And like I was saying, like I don't think the gameplay really develops at all throughout the whole game. It's the same thing. Like within the first hour, if you play an hour of this game, you know if you're going to like it or not, because it is not going to change at all for the rest of the time. So yeah, by the end of it, I was like, this is just going and going and going. So I could have done with it being ever so slightly shorter. But again, like the way it sort of treats the source material is so reverential. Like, I'm not sure if I'm thinking about where I want to cut stuff. I would maybe, if I'm being brutal, I maybe would cut that bit where you got the boss stuck, because that bit just feels sort of superfluous beyond the, it sort of introduces the final boss to you. I don't know. Did you think it was too long? Were you quite happy with the length?
Jesus, I played this game for 23 hours. Mm. That's a lot. That is
could have
too
done
much.
With it being a 15-hour game.
Yeah, I agree with that, because as you say, there is very little variation in the gameplay, really. It's kind of like you're going through silly situations or interesting little tidbits of nonsense, and you're just destroying people.
And it brings you back to a lot of places often as well. There's the bit that's like the final section of the first movie, whatever, it's like the train yard. I'm going to keep calling it the train yard. I don't know what it's called.
Sawmill?
Yeah, the sawmill. You've got to go all the way through it and then all the way back. And then there's
a lot of the time it did make you have to walk all the way through without giving you a shortcut. And a couple of times it did. I think you missed one of the shortcuts.
Oh, did I? Okay.
And then you didn't have the engineering level high enough to make that train smash through those gates.
Did not have the engineering high enough, yeah.
Because that took out a lot of that backtracking there. But yeah, you're right. 23 hours is too long. But the fundamental, like the gore and the violence and the feel of the weapons and the feel of how RoboCop plays, because I know they obviously tried to make that. What did they? There's a quote on there on the Wikipedia where they were saying that they wanted to get the balance of RoboCop's movements correct, and that was their biggest challenge. He said he's kind of slow and tense. This is the game director Piotr Latocha. Butchered that name. He's kind of slow and tankish, and we need him to be true to the lore, but he also cannot be super slow and super heavy.
That was one thing I was pleasantly surprised about the game, in that, like, again, to reiterate, RoboCop is not the most mobile of protagonists, and they've made a game that is ostensibly quite slow and plodding incredibly entertaining to play.
Yes.
And I guess that's obviously to its credit. And I think to me anyway, that's chiefly because using the weapons is so fun, and the way you can play with the handgun is so fun, and the gore and the violence, and just how responsive
throwing
the weapons.
People.
And, I think that's why, and being able to like pick stuff up and throw it and interact with the environments in certain ways and stuff like that. But yeah, like very impressive that they gave what is quite a slow and plodding character a lot of personality and a lot of fun, like especially in an era, I think I said this to you offline, especially in an era when the modern first person shooter is all about movement and is all about pace and is all about covering ground quickly and in inventive ways, whether that's running at walls and stuff like that. You're never going to do that with RoboCop if you're going to stay true to RoboCop, but yet they've still created a fun, entertaining and engaging game that I very much had a great time with. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, you can bowl through there, sort of taking damage and not really paying all that much attention to it for most of the firefights that you get into. You may have to heal up afterwards. But I guess they definitely made him so he's not invincible, but he's sturdy enough that you can handle being that slow. And then they give you the upgrades later on, like the dash move is quite handy, and you can get other things you can upgrade to that like the cooldown,
to use those
the dash.
Things.
Good. There's a slow-mo you can get as well, and you can upgrade that so that every time you kill somebody in slow-mo, it prolongs the slow-mo that you're using. So you've got a sort of flash grenade kind of mechanic as well. I can't remember what the word for it was, but you press down and he does that. Yeah. But that you can also upgrade that later on so that it actually kills people as well. So they give you enough powers to make it not an issue that he can't run effectively. The only problem then is, as you said earlier, like if you're backtracking, that's when it becomes like, oh, for fuck's sake, can I just sprint or fast travel, please?
Yeah.
What do you think to the story?
It's good enough. I mean, I was interested in it. I was engaged in it. It's not going to be one that I'll be able to tell you all about in 6 months' time. It's not sticking with me, but it was enough to make me engage in the world and be interested to progress things and find out what happened next. I think I was more interested in the sort of side characters and the sort of NPCs that you would interact with along the way and what was happening to them more than I was the overarching story. I ended up quite liking Lewis a lot.
She is very likable in the films as well, yeah. I think.
I ended up
quite progressive, actually, for a late 80s film to have black mayors, black head of police, yeah, female companions to the male lead who's not a love interest. Like, they did all right.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I picked up what it was putting down necessarily. So I was looking around at certain bits, and the sort of the main bad guy is meant to be related to someone.
So one of Clarence's gang members who got killed in the first film.
Right. That went over my head entirely. I must have missed that.
Yeah, I think I remember them saying about it, but I don't remember the character in the first film being called Antonovsky. I don't remember any one of those. It's Emil. Oh, wait! He's the brother of the guy who gets fucking melted.
Oh, is he? Fantastic.
Yeah.
He's the best one.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Oh, that's, I can see why he's so upset. Although Robocop didn't run him over or crash that car. I mean, he did shoot the thing that crashed, but, you know.
Yeah.
Emil did most of that himself, or Clarence did it. I really hated when they called him the new guy for so long in the game. Like, that just felt so fucking tacky. Like, the new guy in town. Are you joking? The new fucking kid on the block. What is this mental shit? But he was pretty good. I mean, he was very, very standard scene.
It was obvious. Yeah.
Weirdly kind of smartly dressed and well-spoken, like very kind of looked a little bit like Alan Rickman from Die Hard. Like,
you're right, he was very Alan Rickman from Die Hard. That was great. That's a great point.
Yeah, a lot of it didn't like break the mold of what the RoboCop general plots are, but it followed enough of them to kind of feel correct. Yeah. It's not like it's done anything new. It's not like you know, we're coming on to Batman Arkham series after this, where they really kind of had their own take on Batman, and they really
redefined hand-to-hand combat, and
yeah, but the way they told that story just felt like, so like, this is Arkham, like the writers done a hell of a job with this, like it feels distinctly this
every bit as good a Batman universe story as many of the comics that game.
Yeah, I mean, this is arguably as good as the RoboCop stories because they're not necessarily all that complex.
Certainly as violent as well. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just very, like, very similar. You know, you've got, well, RoboCop's malfunctioning. He's thinking about he keeps getting memories of his wife while he's getting sort of analyzed by people. That's kind of similar to the second film a little bit. You know, you've got a gang lord trying to deal with the city being, I guess, renovated. Mm-hmm. So he's got ulterior motives. He's got ties to OCP. He's going to be backstabbing everybody. And then you've got a guy getting his brain stuck in a fucking robot by the end and going insane. And then RoboCop has to fight and kill it. So that's very the second film.
Which is funny, because I think the first death is very, the death of the new guy is very the first film. And it, like, there's this massive build up to this event, and you're like through that whole section where you're getting like wave after wave of enemies coming at you, like, right, this is building towards something.
Yeah, he just keeps kind of running away every
yeah, and then you kind of at the end, like, RoboCop basically just shoots his hand off, then shoots him off the side of a building, and it's over. And I was like oh, that is anticlimactic in a way that I'm really down with. I really, really like it. Like, it, like, builds you up so you're expecting something, i.e. a big boss fight at the end. Gives you someone completely different. I love that. And then,
that is because, realistically, what's he gonna offer as resistance? He's a man. He's fighting a losing battle from the start.
Yeah,
they all absolutely have. Like in the first film with Clarence as well, when RoboCop gets him, he's like reading his Miranda rights by throwing him through walls over and over again.
We've got obviously, like I say, we've got Batman coming up. It's kind of how I wish the first Batman Arkham Asylum had finished. In that, like,
oh, for fuck's sake, yeah.
When Batman encounters a Joker, I wish that Batman had just beat the shit out of him and that was it. But no, they have to contrive this way to give you a final boss, which this game does as well.
But it fits within the lore, at least.
But it fits within the lore, yeah. Like, that's an example of this is how it done well, and in the game we've got coming, although it's probably a better game, the ending of it is probably slightly weaker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that Joker fight at the end of the next game.
No, it's such a letdown of such a quality game. Like, everything else works so well apart from that. And it goes back to we come across it from time to time about whether final boss fights and boss fights in general are necessary in games.
I think, yeah, we did talk about that recently, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think RoboCop uses boss fights well.
They were all very logical, and they were all, like I said, within the lore of RoboCop. You got the RoboCop 2s, you got the Ed 209s. You know, they all make sense of why they would be tough, and they're meant to be tough because RoboCop's already faced them as sort of overwhelming adversaries in the films before. So they made sense. And then, as you said, they treat the normal humans like exactly what they are, just fleshy punching bags. The Batman Arkham Origins, the one that no one likes, and the one that
I just bought that on Steam. So you've got that, by the way. It was on sale for £3. So I was like, oh, I've got to get that because I've never played that.
Oh, have you not?
No.
That does some boss fights very, very well. Especially, it has quite a lot of interactions with the Joker where Batman does just beat the fuck out of him, and you get the satisfaction of just pressing the punch button and smashing him in the face. Yeah, underrated, I think, that game is, now that they sorted it all out after the launch problems. So
it's funny, that's... actually, we'll come back to that when we do the podcast. I was about to go on a Batman tirade, but we'll talk about that later. This is a very, very good game. It feels like a solid 7.8 out of 10 to me.
Yeah, it's a high 7, that's for sure. Yeah, it's a lot of binary domain... that I think about when I play this game. You know, shooting lots of robots and loving off, the story's a bit wacky, the acting's probably a little bit shit. Nothing crazy.
I've been trying to sort of branch my video game podcast listening out a bit, but rather than all this sort of YouTube-y personality-led stuff, I've been looking more for stuff that gives you news, and we'll talk about the sort of goings-on in the industry. And the ones I've found are actually quite good, but a lot of the talk has obviously been about layoffs, and surrounding the layoffs has been discussions about how video game costs are spiraling out of control, and there's going to have to be a sort of rebalancing of the cost versus the cost of games. I think the existence of RoboCop is an example of a game that can be made on a tight budget and still be fucking good. The games do not have to obviously there are games that cost £350 million and do very well and are very, very good, and they show the money that has been put into them in the way that a RoboCop never will. RoboCop, to me, I was been thinking about this as been driving back and forth to the gym, is almost like feels to me anyway like a sort of triumphant return of the B game, in a way that is fun and engaging, and it's like, no, this is a game I really want to play, a bit like Star Wars The Force Unleashed is another example of sort of the latter era of the 360, when those games were about. It feels like a game that has been made to a low budget and has done well within its remit, and shows to me that games don't have to cost the earth to be fun.
Absolutely. Don't need to be filled with busy work. Although, as we have said, this game is a bit too long.
It is a bit too long.
It's still linear for most of it.
Busy work, though, other than... at the time...
So they make busy work funny.
They made it funny, yeah.
Why would RoboCop be doing this? That's what's funny about it. It's like how ludicrous you are to be in that situation.
You're this programmed robotic man going around getting someone to sign a card.
So chasing a cat under a piano or whatever.
Exactly. Like you're finding it in a burn, like the guy refusing to leave his burning building, so you've got to walk around and find a cat on top of a closet and stuff like that.
In night vision,
it's a great game.
I burnt the
game.
Shit out of that woman that you had to carry out of the fire.
Oh, I did as well. Accident. I just walked her straight
into the fire. All of her knees and elbows and stuff all the way out. I can take all this fire. Yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Which is funny because his chin was out, didn't get burnt.
Absolutely.
Do you think RoboCop still has to shave?
No, and he keeps walking through fire, doesn't he? He just gives himself the old Turkish stuff. Yeah, by walking through a burning building.
Pre-RoboCop man, I've blanked on his name.
Peter Weller. Or Alex Murphy, if you're talking about the actual character's name.
Alex Murphy, full head of hair.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want to know about RoboCop's hygiene regime. Is his Does he need to shave? Does he need a haircut? Like, does someone have to like shave that bods of his that he's got left, or
is there any follicle on there?
Yeah, or is it just like skin squeezed over, like, and like tied back? Will the
he's still
skin
got teeth? Does he have to brush his teeth?
Yeah, does he have to brush? Well, no, because he eats baby food. So, yes, yeah, surely.
Oh, they're... yeah.
And
oh, because yeah, that guy eats it in the film, doesn't he?
He must have to brush his teeth. You're right. Who's doing this? Yeah. And when's he doing this? Is the only biological part of RoboCop the head?
Like, well, I think it's the brain as well. By the names of RoboCop 2, it's also like his spine and his nervous system.
Can he sweat? Does he need to wear deodorant? Does he need to wash?
Yeah, like if he's like when we were doing all those wires incorrectly, was his top lip aspiring?
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see a RoboCop with a moustache.
Like his dick. Yeah. As he's getting towards retirement, he's getting really burnt out on police work.
Yeah.
Just like getting like disheveled 5 o'clock shadow every day or whatever.
Yeah, will he get old and die? Like will he get like a wrinkly chin?
In the second film when they turn this other guy into RoboCop 2, she says like how would you like a shot at immortality? So I'm assuming no.
If he eats, he must have a stomach.
Unless it's just to... Yeah, he must do, yeah, because you can't just absorb food into your brain. And
which
that
means
that
he's got
work.
A blood supply, which means he must
definitely
also,
does have that.
So he must breathe.
Yeah.
Why was he not coughing when he was in the fire? Maybe he's got an
Has
oxygen
tank. Has he got
tank.
Organs in there? Like, under all of his stuff? Oh, maybe he doesn't. You watch the second film and then you'll know more about what's inside that suit.
What's inside
when
that
they take
suit?
Him apart. But there's definitely... blood supply in there somehow. I don't think they really thought it through very much. Seems like one of those things they're just kind of like, yeah, we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah,
along,
we're straying into overthinking territory. He's going like the Cliffy B approach. We'll just do this and then we'll figure it out as we go when it comes to Gears of War.
I think, is it in the film Looper, which is like a time travel?
Fuck me.
Thing.
I haven't thought about Looper since I saw Looper.
And there's a part in the, they're in like a diner talking. About how all of the stuff actually works, and then Bruce Willis basically just says something like, "If I was to explain it to you, you wouldn't understand it. So don't worry about it. Like, just accept that it's like this." Like, so the writers of the film just couldn't even be fucked to figure out how logically any of it would work because it wouldn't work because time travel is not logically possible. So they were just like, "Yeah, don't worry about it. It just works." So yeah, I feel like maybe RoboCop's got a little bit of that on the go, which is like, "Yeah, he's a cyborg. Don't worry about
Absolutely.
It."
Absolutely, fully aware. There's going to be someone listening to this podcast saying you're overthinking it, and yes, I am, and I enjoy doing that in the same way that I enjoy the positing the theory that Super Mario. Nope, not Wonder. That's the one we just played. What's the one on the Switch called? Super Mario
Odyssey.
Oh, the cap. Is the first mainline Mario game where Mario isn't the main character because Mario's dead.
Yeah, he is dead. Yeah, he's
the cap
possessed by a hat.
Him. Yeah, you are the cap in that game.
So what happens to Mario when he's something?
Where
else?
Is he when the cap is? I assume his corpse is just. Rotting on the
We're
ground.
We're not seeing it because it's off camera, but yeah, it just like flops to the ground again, naked as the day he was killed. And I'm a T-Rex, and there's just the corpse over in the corner, and then the hat just like slicks back to the corpse again, picks him up. Yeah, did you have fun being that ice cream? Yeah, I'm back now.
I love that. Yeah, so people that have got illegal versions of that game install a mod that makes him slowly decompose as the game goes on. So you've got like 48 hours to do it before rigor mortis sets in, or however long it sets in.
Just fucking yellow at the end. Oh man,
this looks like a Dark Souls, one of my Dark Souls characters.
Oh yeah,
this might be a fun game. I'm going to pick a random game at the end of each podcast episode, and we're going to try and if you were going to, that's what I'm going to call the game because it's a nice succinct name. If we were going to do this type of podcast for a Dark Souls game. What movie would you attach?
Oh my Christ.
Because it's got to be confusing narrative, I guess. Probably quite Japanese, evocative visuals.
I mean, it does seem quite inspired
graphic novel,
by like medieval fantasy, like Lord of the Rings, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like,
I wondered if, like,
Lord of the Rings games
how would you think about, not a movie, but Berserk?
Oh, good point, yeah. I love Berserk.
There's an anime for that. Maybe that's...
There is. Horrible, horrible anime. I love it. I love it, but oh my God, it is horrible. If you want to see man-on-man rape,
That's the one
for
you.
Or maybe that's just in the manga, actually. It might just be in the manga. The anime's still horrible. Like, really horrible.
Ugh.
Just nasty shit. Great, though.
Is the anime good? Is it?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
pleasantly surprised. But the one I was pleasantly surprised, Death Note. I enjoyed the
Death
movie.
Death Note ruled.
Yeah.
Oh, the movie, yeah. Which one?
Don't know.
The Western one.
I am fully accepted that I think I'm in the minority here, and the one I liked was the de facto bad one. I think it's the Western one I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, the Japanese Death Note films are good, but yeah, I haven't seen the... Was that a Netflix thing?
Hadn't read the movie, hadn't read the book or the graphic novel, hadn't seen the Japanese version of the movie. My first interaction with Death Note was, I think, the Western movie, and I thought it was all right. Very much enjoyed it.
2017, that's the one with 4.7 on IMDb.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Oh, that is the Western one, yeah. The Japanese movie on IMDb.
And you always... While I was watching it, I was like,
wicked.
People aren't going to like this, but I don't care.
I mean, what game would you play with that? You could go the other way around, couldn't you?
Yeah. For Death Note.
Probably like fucking the school thing.
Oh, Danganronpa. That's it. You've nailed that. That's the one. But I guess, is there anything, any more, Alex, or are we going to draw this to a close?
I don't think I've got anything else to say about Robocop other than it's just awesome.
My notes here, yeah, it's just an awesome game. We've covered your bugs. The weapons actually are very, very good. They do a good job of sort of recreating the weapons in the game. I very much enjoyed the, because by the time I finished the game, I'd seen the movie. That massive, like, it's like explosion sniper rifle that you get to use towards the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah,
very, very fun.
I enjoyed the grenade launcher. Mm-hmm. Although I only basically got that at the part where you're in the fucking place you can't shoot any of the barrels, so that was a real annoyance. I had to throw it on the ground. They did the pistol such justice.
The
in
pistol
this
so
game.
Much
like
fun.
They, what a great pistol. Up there for the best pistol ever.
Oh,
it's knocking on Halo's door for sure.
It's a highlight of the game. Like, it's a standout. I was going to call it a character. It's not that, but it's like a centerpiece of the game to me. And the game would not be nearly as good as it is if that pistol wasn't there. If they had just given you a normal gun,
yeah,
not nearly as good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And combine that with his cool little like scanning aiming thing, it's just great fun. The slow-mo. But yeah, if ever I was using like another gun, it would normally just be because I felt like obliged to. Like, oh, here's another gun I haven't actually picked up. Probably not going to use it because the pistol's so good.
Yeah.
But I'll give this AK-47 or whatever it is a run. And then, oh yeah, it's not as good. Back it goes. I got the shotgun most of the times I could. Not the pump action one, but the proper one, like the riot shotgun sort of thing that you get later on in the game when you're doing the prison break. I enjoyed that prison break level, actually.
That prison break sequence was excellent. We didn't touch on that at all. That was really good fun. Yeah, really good. That felt fun. And yeah, the way they dripped into, like, because that's the first time you encounter sort of the mercenaries, isn't it? The way they dripped them in. Because you see them moving about the prison, but you can't quite get to them or interact with them beforehand. That was done really, really well.
Yeah, I like how you could kind of make, not secret paths, but you could take alternative routes through areas by breaching through walls and stuff instead of just going through doors. And I enjoyed the breaching through the doors as well. Well, even though half the time I never managed to save all the hostages, I would always see somebody. The hostage takers are always fucking ruthless. They will give you a few seconds if they're going to turn and pump bullets into the face of anybody on their knees. They don't even care about the fact that Robocop is definitely going to kill them afterwards.
There was a bit in the during the Detroit riots where you'll get like calls in from people that have been like are getting shit happened. So many of those resulted in one of those hostage sequences that just people get killed. So there's the journalists. I don't know. You've got to go and drop off some tapes from her flat after you pick them up.
Oh yeah.
And you go to it's not the laundrette, but it's like the convenience store, and the guy's like, oh yeah, stick the stuff through the back. He got his face exploded in my
game. I saved him.
Oh, did you? I did not save him. Nobody
and
cared.
And the video store guy.
I saved the video store guy. There were a couple of them, but yeah, I think he was the one I messed up on.
You know what, actually, I will add to it. Slight negative where it feels like the stuff you pumped all your points into at the beginning did not feel that relevant as the game wore on.
No.
Like once you've stopped going around Detroit in the first dark part, maybe a bit the second one, when was a dialogue choice actually that necessary. Like, I remember you had to talk to Ben in the chop shop, and you had to talk to those two guys outside the convenience store, whatever it was, where they're making too much noise with their shit rock song.
But the thing is, you seem to have got the sort of so-called good endings of all the characters without bothering with that stuff.
I'm trying to think
what happened.
I guess I did enough to
yeah, you yeah, see, you sort of did, because in my game, what it was telling me was the empathetic choice, i.e. the good choice. So it was basically telling me what the correct answer would be as I was playing along. But yeah, like the journalist leaves to go and work for a local news station because she wants to refind herself and do proper journalism. The drug addict decides that it's fun to help people and decides to go and clean himself up.
Did he go work at a movie theater for you? That's what he did for me. He worked at a cinema.
I don't think so. I think
he was he just worked at a cinema so he could talk to people about films all the time and be around films. He got a job.
Maybe. Yeah, he certainly sorted himself out.
Ulysses decided I helped him or something become a policeman. And
he
ended up becoming a policeman again.
Decided to reapply because he got made redundant.
He reapplied. That's it. So yeah, I didn't need those, but I didn't find a lot of dialogue choices. Well, maybe because I didn't see them. But I certainly don't remember. Like, I remember the first time on the PS5 version before I fucking binned it. The first, like, and one thing I will actually segue quickly in here is, like, I do like how, like, some of the things that would arise as you were just sort of walking around the city, it felt like at times the game was really good at leading you dynamically towards that kind of thing happening. Like, you'd go somewhere, like, it would say, like, in the police station, oh, you need to go down to somewhere, and on the way it would like put in things that you're going to get distracted by, or you do a mission, or you do like a side mission, you turn around and then something would start happening behind you that as a result of that. Like, you didn't actually have to go out of your way to find that extra content. It was all kind of like laid out for you, and you could interact with it if you wanted to or not. But yeah, there's one like right at the beginning of the Detroit thing where you walk over and there's a guy, like I said, there's two dudes hanging outside the convenience store playing music, and the owner's trying to get him to leave. On the PS5 version before I binned it, I had an option because of one of my stats being high enough, I was able to say something to make I had an extra dialogue option. I never saw that ever again for the rest of the Xbox.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I
didn't see it once. You may have seen more of it because you had the correct dialogue option. Maybe it gave you an extra one on top of it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But the point is it ultimately made no
difference.
No, I don't think it did, and I don't think they probably would have used it enough. It's a nice idea, kind of bringing that sort of Fallout element of dialogue choices based on your stats. So, like, I'm always up for things like that.
Absolutely.
Min-max into something. But because so early on in that sawmill, which is like the second part of the game, when you've got all those mines in the water that you cannot see on your scanner, and there's snipers that you had a sniper.
You saved my life there. Yeah, you absolutely saved me, because I knew it was all coming. So like, where there was the bit with the underwater mines, it's like underwater mines. So I just picked up a bat. I picked up like a bin, you know, this big massive metal dumpster, and just threw it across the water, and it just blew them all up because I knew they were there. And then I obviously picked up a sniper rifle, anticipating that bit coming.
Yeah, because I was just trying to pistol those snipers. And I basically had 20 health that would have to regenerate while I stood behind a turned over car. And then I'd walk out and get shot by a sniper, and it would go back down to one. And I'd have to go stand and wait for it to go to 20 again. So I got my ass kicked so much at that point. I was just putting it all in armor and combat vitality. So I never really had any of the other ones until later in the game. But then I didn't see any dialogue options because of that ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd need to look into it more, really. Probably should have done that before the show. Nah,
the thing is, I think like what we're saying, though, ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, you got pretty sure you got all the same endings as I did without those stats. So you're either very lucky. I mean, because I was often... I felt okay about them because there was bits where I obviously hadn't watched the movie, and I just became a bit confused about what I was meant to choose. So like, the one that I was glad of it was when you walk into the OCP building and the journalist is there, and she asks you to go and steal stuff for her and go and mess up like the cameras and things like that. In my head, I was like, I'm not sure Robocop would do that. But the game kept telling me that was the right thing to do. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just go do it. But yeah, like that didn't seem to fit with RoboCop. I mean, like, he's a man that is on a thing that is literally built to uphold the law, to quote another 80s, 90s movie franchise. But you're doing the exact opposite there. That's almost like a very human thing to do. But also, the game does lean into that. It's constantly, when you're getting your psychiatric appointments, getting asked questions about your human side versus your machine side, and which one is more prevalent, I guess. So I guess it makes sense within the game context. But yeah, I was a little bit confused by that as it was unfolding, if it wasn't for the prompts it was giving me.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for like skill check guides online to kind of see if there's anything.
And nobody cares.
No one seems to have anything about it. A lot of people are trying to say, like, what are the best stats to upgrade? So you've got one site, The Gamer, saying vitality, then the top one is duction, combat, engineering, armor, focus, vitality. And then somebody else is saying focus is first, then armor, then deduction, then scanning, then engineering.
What does deduction give you?
That's what you did, I think, isn't it?
I think that's what would have been what I went all in on. Yeah, it's like the bottom two I went all in on.
What's focus do? Oh, that's the slow motion thing.
Basically didn't use that. Whenever it went slow motion in my game, it was by complete accident. I didn't know how I did it.
Thrown a bike at a biker. It's one of my favourite things to do is try and time it perfectly so that when a biker comes back, I'm going to chuck another bike at him and blow
right
him
off his face.
Deduction. Oh, I had deduction for the enhanced map. That I really wanted that as quickly as possible.
That was good, yeah, because I think I missed stuff early game.
And it gets you, yeah, that gets you more experience points. So it's not going to be that then. Scanning I thought was good, because especially with the instant scanner, where you could like, you scan one and it shows you every enemy on screen at once. Psychology is the one you had.
Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah, that's the one that gives you the dialogue choices. But I guess there's multiple ways to try and play it. But considering I just kind of did it on gut instinct and got...
I'm not convinced they're different enough. The only thing I would be tempted to do is if there's a new game plus mode, I would be quite... If I ever played it again, it would be to just try and max out all the stats, I guess. Because I didn't do it by the end. And try and get more of those collectibles, because I enjoyed the gun mod stuff. But it, like I say, it didn't give me enough of that to really feel like I got the benefit of it.
Yeah.
I had a gun I really liked. I got a new board, so I emptied the board and tried to put it on the new board. Didn't have enough to fill the board, so I tried to put it back and couldn't get it back in the right order that I had before, so my gun was never as good as I had it. Yeah.
Some of the ones that just like, oh, here's a bonus, like one of those yellow stats that you could use to do something fun, but you have to take the hit of a red one on this one. Like, well, I'm not going to use the board then.
Yeah,
because exactly.
Harsh penalties.
Yeah.
There's ones that were like 40%, and so I was like, "Well, this makes the board unusable if I can't avoid that."
Yeah. If I can't avoid every red one, I'm just not going to bother. No. Wonder how many of those there are. Because I remember I was up to like 5.2, and then I found a 5.0 that you were talking about, and that was better than that. It was like better than a couple of the ones higher up.
Yeah, it was weird. I couldn't figure out a clear order to it.
Mm.
But yeah, that was probably my highlight of the game. The messing with the gun.
Great headshots as well, as I said to you. Like rivaling Gears for the splatter noise that you get of a headshot. And the sound of the bullet as well on top. It's like a thud and a splat all in one horrible little...
I wonder if we've still got our list. Did we not make up... When we started doing this podcast, did we not make a list of best guns?
We did it. We may have done a podcast about it, yeah.
Yeah, we might have to revisit and slot the old RoboCop pistol in there, see if it makes the cut.
Yeah. Hang on, let's see if we can find it. Right, we had Fat Man, Lancer, Boltok pistol. That's probably where RoboCop's having the fight. PP7, Silenced, and Super Shotgun from Doom.
That PP7.
Classic. Yeah, maybe we kick out the PP7 for the RoboCop gun.
Yeah, perhaps.
Paint roller, get out of here.
Alex, what podcast are we doing next?
We are going to are we doing The Batman, yeah? Did we decide on that?
Is that the Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we decided.
Yeah, The Batman and Batman Arkham City. No, Arkham or Asylum.
Asylums.
Yeah.
Not Knight. I just wanted to round them all no, and mention them all.
No, definitely not Arkham. No, definitely not Arkham Knight.
Arkham Asylum and The Batman will be next up. We're also playing a different game, but that'll be after these podcasts. And
yeah, that's the next one. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to
that.
I want to replay the Batman game for a long ass time.
Yeah, it's been a long time, so I'm hoping they're still fun. There's a person I follow on Twitch that's been replaying the Batman games, and she seems to be having a good time, so hopefully I do too, and you.
Let's find out where I can watch the Batman.
Oh yeah, let's have a look at that. In case you're listening to this and you want to follow along as well, so where do you get the Batman?
You get it nowhere, unless you pay for it. Might be worth getting the old B-double.
How much is it? Let's have a look on
4K.
Shopping, Amazon.
Other outlets are available.
The Batman.
Blu-ray, £10. Not bad.
Yeah, so you get Blu-ray for tenner. What's the 4K is 20 quid. 20 quid. It's almost worth getting the 4K, mate.
Yeah.
Or you can get the DVD for £5.99 if you're slumming it.
Cheap.
You won't be getting it on VHS, though, I'm afraid. And I suppose that brings us to the end of another episode of the Winners You podcast. If you liked what you heard, and even if you didn't, why not give our numbers a bump by subscribing to us on your podcast feed of choice? Or if you prefer to imbibe your podcast in a visual format, you can head on over to YouTube and search A Winner Is You podcast, where you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. If the podcast isn't enough for your bi-weekly dose of A Winner Is You chattery, you can also follow us on our website, formerly known as Twitter, at The Winner Is You Pod, and you can even send us an email to tell us how wrong we are about our gaming opinions by writing to awinnerisyoupod@gmail.com. Or if you want to suggest another movie game combo for us, that's another interesting email that you could send us. Alex and I also have Twitter, at @DavidSmiley1 and at @SuperThrillix. And we have TikTok now, so head on over to TikTok and just search A Winner Is You Pod and we will pop up. Alex, have you got any pod keeping? Housekeeping? Or are we getting out of here?
Let's get out of here.
And on that bombshell, I've been David, he has been Alex, and we have been A Winner Is You, and I'm out.